Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Cross the finish line in style with trainers from michaelmurphysports.ie.
A very good evening. Welcome along to another edition of The Score. Coming up on tonight's programme, we'll have a preview of the Donegal-Kildare National Football League game, which is taking place this Sunday. It's also a big weekend for the Brian Oakes Club in Steelstown. The Derry Intermediate Champions play in the All-Ireland Final on Sunday. We'll hear from the club ahead of the massive decider at Croke Park. Donegal hurling manager Mickey McCann speaks with us as his side start their National Hurling League campaign against London. And in motorsport, the Galway International Rally kicks off the Irish Tarmac Championship this weekend. Killian Duffy will give us a rundown on what's ahead for the competing Donegal crews. It's with Gaelic Games we begin. This Sunday, the biggest day awaits in the history of the Brian Oakes Club in Steelstown. The Derry Intermediate Champions will face off with Trim of Meath in the All-Ireland Final at Croke Park. The Derry side reached the decider, beating the favourites, the Gael of Kerry, in the semi-final. The journey to the Theatre of Dreams for every club player, seeing the city side win the county title for the first time, beating Greenlock, and they then navigated their way through Ulster to be crowned provincial intermediate champions, overcoming Muirtown in the decider. Now a team from Derry are just 60 minutes away from All-Ireland glory. Michael McMullen went along to the club this week for Highland Radio Sport, where he spoke to player Shane O'Connor, but first of all, Steelstown manager Hugh McGrath.
With that, Mickey, you know, with that semi-final performance done and dusted, is that the concern that you have to lift the lads sort of emotionally again?
Well, they're a resilient group, and they always have been. They love a challenge, and we're very good as a management team of bringing them back down to earth very quickly. We had a video session after our training on Monday, where a few things were highlighted and a few things were pointed out. Derek Baker will thank me for mentioning him, but he particularly took offence at being pulled out for something. Not as his yellow card, by the way, but it just shows that they're competitive, and they always want to be right, and they always want to do the right things in the game. So what we're focusing on the rest of the week is making sure that we're focusing on what we're good at, what we think will help get us over the line against Trim, and if we focus on those things well enough, well then we'll be close to winning.
What's it like to be involved with this group of players, you know, a range of different age groups, some are in this year, some are in longer? Is it just a great wee bond in there?
It is. Look, it's very easy for me. I know I've managed some of the older guys before when we got promoted to Division 1, but I've never left the club. I've always been around in some guise or other, whether it be PRO, injury officer, coaching on their age, coaching reserves, whatever it is. So the beauty of it is that we know them, and we know their ins and outs so well. So as a group, a management group, we feel connected with them. So whatever they need, we feel we're able to provide them. But also as a group, they know each other inside out, and they know if some guy needs picked up and helped along, they're good enough to do that. The bond's immense, and it's only getting stronger.
Over the years, you've always chipped in county players. I think, is it eight, you said to me, in the squad, or wherever, I think it is that, you know, that's just development year after year to eventually get you here.
It is, and for us it's about the coaching that we're providing for underage. For us, you know, our initial roots here were about providing Gaelic Games for kids in the city. That's what Anthony McGurk and the other guys, that's what they created this for. For us it's always been about providing a platform for these people to show how good they can be at the sport and develop them in such a way that, yes, they can be successful here, but they can also go and represent their county and their city with pride. We've had plenty that have done that, and we hope to have plenty more in the future.
What does it do for the game in the city? All-Ireland title or no All-Ireland title?
Yeah, look, I've said it before, that there's not a team in the city would ever fear coming here to play us, and that is exactly the way it should be, and that's the way it will be for time of memorial, and we want that. Some great work going on in some of the clubs around here. You know, you look at Brian O'Donnell, Donald, just Old Corran up in Patience, and so many others. They're not that far away from that, and they're not that far away from competing and development in the same way that we have. For us, we believe that this helps us, but it'll also help those other clubs. And if the game's strong here, it helps us as well, but it'll also help our county to go along.
Shane, days away from an All-Ireland final, I was driving in there and I saw a sign, Steelstown Ulster Champions. How long does it take for that to sink in, what you have achieved?
Well, definitely, when you wake up the next day, I think that's when it hits in then. You process it then, it's brilliant, don't get me wrong, but then it's back down to business then and say, sort of every challenge, every match we've played so far, we're looking, that's brilliant, that's won, but then on to the next game then, that's sort of just the way we went this year. It's been Ulster we didn't really think about the start of the year, it was trying again, get over line in Derry, but once we did that, then we realised we were on my shout here, and that's when we decided just we'll go for it, make a proper run at it.
You know, going from being the club who never won the championship, the nearly man and all that, to, you know, to go on this journey, like, do you pinch yourself sometimes?
No, definitely. And as I say, before we won that Derry Championship, it was always, no matter what anybody said, the monkey was always on our back there, definitely, about getting over the line. But no, it's hard to believe, definitely. As I say, we stepped out in Croke Park, which was always a dream. We're stepping out there at the weekend, but as I say, we'll process that, we'll, you know, Croke Park, no bother, and we'll just get on with the game then once we take it on.
From the player's point of view, what do you feel made the difference this year, you know, because you were so close? There's no major changes needed, I'm sure, but what changed this year, you know, do you feel?
Well, I think a bit more belief. A few of the younger boys coming on definitely helped, even boys stepping up from reserve, like Zoran Fox and that, with Donka coming on. It just really gives a belief that we've a really good team, we've a good squad, and it's not wasted. I think COVID particularly, you know, life's too short, we just needed to be honest, just to go for it, and that's what we decided, and just a bit of belief. Once we got out of Derry, then those shackles were off, and we really believed in ourselves then.
Going into the Nigel game, what was the sort of feeling? Because that was billed, probably by us in the media, as the game where you needed the biggest performance of your year, which you've got. But going into the game, how were you sort of looking at it?
Well, look, we're not sure, but we know they had a lot of pedigree, particularly around the middle of the park. I suppose we knew we'd be up against it, but we had to dig in, and that's what we've done. We're happy with our performance, don't get me wrong, every game you could do a bit more, but you can improve in things. But I thought, to be honest, particularly when we went down to 14 men, we were up against it, and we dug in and we bagged the man beside us just to go all the way. And as I say, in the end, we ended up on the right side. They got a few wides, that's fair enough, but at the end of the day, I think even looking at some of our fans, they were saying, you know, I've never seen a Steelstown team hassle a team as much as that. It's good they come away with that, and like the whole family, the whole club proud, and particularly the weekend that was on the 50th anniversary of Bloody Sunday, I think we really did our team and our city proud.
Did you think Cathair McGonagall would definitely go for a goal?
I knew he would. I was telling him to go for the point, but no, I knew he would go for the goal. I think there was a bit of confusion with how long was left, but no, it was the right decision, and Cathair will always back himself, which is a brilliant trait that he has. No, and it was the right thing, and I knew he would go for it.
How difficult was it during those moments? Like, I was at home refreshing it like mad on Twitter, and it seemed like go on for ages, but you were the man that had to turn it. What did it feel like?
Well, that's it. I think looking back at the game, it was maybe 15, 20 minutes that he was down for Oakenbar. Hopefully he's okay now. But I think it was more, the focus was on Cathair. Will he be able to hold an air from that? And to be fair to Cathair, when the play resumed, they just walked up, they travelled up the pitch and put the ball in the back of the net. And it's, you know, when you've a player of quality, Cathair, you've every faith in them. Had it been someone like myself stepping up, might have been a different story. But no, you have to back your own teammates, and that's what we did there. We're fully confident.
And finally, I said to you off air there, you know, it was a 2-week break. Now you've got a 1-week break to the biggest game of the club's history. Is that difficult, or is it an advantage?
Look, the legs will be sore from that game, given the nature of that game, the high tempo it was played at the weekend. The legs will be sore, but look, you know, standing out in Croke Park, the adrenaline will get you through, and that's it, you know. But I think some people prefer a week break because they'll just be straight back, and they'll always prefer a bit of time to relax. But no, it'll make no difference to us at the end of the day. A game of football is a game of football, and it's only 60 minutes, everybody has that in their locker.
Dermot Baker tweeted something that was brought up during the week about how much of a dream it would be to play with your club. Now it's here. What would it be like to win it if you're lucky enough to get there?
Well, definitely the best thing that will ever happen is, I think you'll not get a chance, no matter who you are, they won an Ulster title and then playing Croke Park in the All-Ireland final, no matter what grade. So look, it'll be brilliant, and then they that's the goals they won, and that's the only thing we're thinking about at the minute. Just every the first half, just get that out of the way, and then just see where we're at then.
That's Staleystown player Shane O'Connor, and before that, manager Hugh McGrath, ahead of a huge day for them. We wish them the very best of luck in that All-Ireland final. And if you nip over to highlandradio.com now, there's also a piece there available from Paul O'Hay, who is the chairman of the Brian Ogue side. This weekend in Division 1 of the National Football League, Donegal play their first home game of the campaign against Kildare in Ballybofey. After the opening round draw with Mayo and Kerry, both sides are now chasing a first win. Donegal versus Kildare will be live here in Highland this Sunday afternoon, starts at 2:30. I'll be joined by Martin McHugh on commentary. You'll not miss a thing. You'll be able to follow all the action here on Sunday Sport in association with highlandmotors.ie. Kieran Thompson will definitely not feature for Donegal. He will miss the game, having picked up an injury in the draw against Mayo. The Niamh Connell captain had a strain just minutes into that fixture, while St Union's Keelan Ward also went off in the game and is seen as a major doubt for the tie against the Lilywhites. This week on the preview section, I was joined by Peter Campbell of the Donegal Democrat and Jerry McNally from KFM to look ahead to the tie. Peter, I hope you don't mind. We'll start with the visitors. We'll go to Kildare. We'll go to Kildare first of all. You guys will have a spring in your step down there this week, Jer, after that fantastic result against Kerry, that draw last week. There wasn't too many people in the country giving you a chance last Sunday, but it's a fine start for you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. And I kind of had to remind myself on a few occasions later on that evening when I was thinking back that it was only a draw, because for all the world, it felt like a win. You know, as a Kildare starting 15, that was at least kind of four or five, maybe even six players short of a full-strength side. Kerry had been looking so ominous down in the McGrath Cup in the early part of the season that I suppose I went in on Sunday fearing the worst, but it ended up being a really typical Glen Ryan performance. Everybody remembers what Glen Ryan was like as a player, and it was like he had kind of 15 Glen Ryans at some stage on Sunday against Kerry, because the players really rose to the occasion. They all threw themselves into battle, really. It was a difficult task because Kerry were six ahead at one stage in the first half, five ahead at one stage in the second half. And, you know, with forwards like David Clifford on the field and Paddy Clifford as well, and Paul Gainey around them as well, and Killian Spillan, you felt that Kerry would just have enough in their armoury just to be able to keep the scoreboard ticking over through the second half. But it wasn't the case, because Kildare were able to shut them out for the last almost 20 minutes of football while scoring the last 4 points themselves to grab what was a really well-deserved draw in the end. It was a well-deserved result and kind of well-deserved for the efforts that were put in. But yeah, absolutely, it sent a packed St. Collins Park away on a high, and everybody's kind of counting down the days now to Sunday again to see them again in action.
Yeah, that term, Newbridge or nowhere, is continuing to stick, Jared, down there.
It hasn't always been the case, and it was reminiscent of that Newbridge or Nowhere game for many different reasons. It was certainly the biggest crowds in St. Collins Park since that night, and it was probably I'm just struggling to think of a better performance since that night, really, either, because it was just it typified, I suppose, what Kildare supporters want to see from their team. It was blood and thunder, and it was far from pretty, by no means pretty, and some of the football on display wasn't the best at times, but it was a dirty old day. You know, Newbridge is a very tight pitch. There was wind, there was rain, so it wasn't about kind of skills or anything fancy. It was just about kind of rolling your sleeves up and diving in on loose balls and blocking tackles, making extra runs, supporting the man on the ball, big physical confrontations, and Kildare on that occasion were well up to all that sort of thing.
Just going to you now, Peter, and obviously Donegal were sort of at the polar opposite to what Kildare was at the weekend, and they were really pinned back in those closing 10 minutes. But listen, from Declan Motors' point of view, Peter, that result very much parked now, and they'll be looking for a response this weekend.
Yeah, just something that Jer said there. I think we would have done with a Glen Ryan type player in that last 5 or 10 minutes for maybe 3 or 4 of them. The contrast between the two games, we were 5 points ahead, Kerry were 5 points ahead. I think that Donegal have taken a lot of stick in the media from analysts about giving in that last 15 minutes and not scoring, obviously, from Michael Langan's point just after the penalty. It was a long, long run in for Donegal. And the wind, I think, the wind probably changed direction along with that downpour of rain as well, and it became very, very difficult to play the game that Donegal were trying to play, trying to hold possession, trying to keep Sean Patton as an extra man. And, you know, if you were in the middle of summer, it probably would have worked because you'd get the ball away quicker. But they got caught in that last play and gave away a free, possibly a very harsh free to give away. But at the same time, Mayo were up for it at that stage. And I think that's what Declan Bonner has to come up with. It probably has to come up with a plan to close out games, because I suppose it's been the one fault maybe that Donegal had over the last number of years. We've thrown away games that we should have won. Ger was talking about that it felt like a win, their draw in Newbridge. Well, ours certainly felt like a loss in Sligo, because we probably had the game won. But in the end, Declan Bonner said they were happy to get a point from an away game. And like, it puts a big focus on Sunday's game now with Kildare coming, because that would have been a game that Donegal probably would have targeted. They mightn't have said it publicly, the management and players, but, you know, Donegal people would be saying we have a good record against Kildare at home. Kildare have a good record against us in Newbridge, but you know, if we could get 2 points from Sunday, then Donegal would be back in a good position again.
Yeah, is it not too early in the year to be too critical of Donegal? Because you mentioned that some supporters would have been overcritical off the back of that closing 15 minutes. At the end of the day, Peter, it's only the first game in the league. Now, we're a bit away from the summer yet.
It's only the first game of the season, but it has happened on a good few occasions. And I'm not talking about the Donegal supporters actually criticising them. I'm talking about the outside criticism that they've got from the like of Joe Brawley, and Eamon Sweeney was particularly critical in the Irish Independent on Monday. And, you know, it's up to the Donegal players and management to use that criticism. They really have to come up with a plan, I'd say, to close out games. And, you know, it's something that, you know, they can't say that it's not there. It certainly has happened in quite a number of games over the last number of years.
Yeah. Okay, we'll bring Ger back in again. And I suppose, Ger, what's the reaction to that draw been like down there in Kildare? Obviously, Donegal's getting a bit of criticism for their performance, but it's all positive in the Lilywhite County.
Yeah, absolutely, because, you know, it's not so long ago that Kildare went the full Division 1 league campaign. The last time they were in the top flight of football without a single point that year, back in 2018 when Keane O'Neill was in charge. So, you know, it's a very, very different ball game going up to the top level. There's a huge gap, I think, between Division 2 and Division 1. So to get the first point on the board is, you know, it's very gratifying and adds a big boost for the players. But I think what Peter said was right about Donegal maybe targeting Kildare. I think that's the kind of view that every county is going to take, you know, and not just Kildare, but I suppose any side that comes up in Division 2, the more established Division 1 sides are looking at those teams, particularly when they're playing at home, as the opportunity to take 2 points, because, you know, every point is absolutely crucial in terms of Division 1 and where you're going to finish in the league. So, the big kind of question for Kildare now is can they match that sort of intensity that they brought last week? Because everything was kind of there for the players to be motivated. It was Glenn Ryan's first game in charge. There was a huge crowd in St. Connaught's Park, and Jack O'Connor obviously bringing Kerry up as well. The fact that it was Jack coming back to Kildare added an extra bit of spice and certainly motivated the supporters on the terraces, if not the players. But it all kind of fed into a big, big occasion. And, you know, as much as the players were able to respond to that and you know, turn in the performance that everybody wanted from them, now the question mark is, can they go on the road, get a long trip north? I'm not sure if they want to stay overnight or whatever else, but the whole kind of logistics of the travel up the north as well is another thing as well to be thrown in. And can they then produce a performance as well to match what they showed last week?
Yeah. I know you're not going to give away too many secrets, so you're not, Ger, in relation to the players of Kildare. But who do Donegal need to be wary of at the weekend from your point of view? And from a Kildare point of view, who's the guys that you want to step up against Michael Murphy and co?
Yeah, well, defensively, like Kildare, I thought were outstanding last week, particularly Mick O'Grady. He was handed the sort of unenviable task of marking David Clifford, which is probably the biggest challenge that any defender in Gaelic games can face at the moment. And Clifford got a couple of points off making the first half, but a player of his talent is always going to, you know, get a half a chance. That's all he needs to get a point or two on the board. But, you know, Mick kept them scoreless for the second half. So from that point of view, I think Mick O'Grady has seen, especially with Owen Doyle not back in the setup following his exploits with Nace in the Leinster Championship, I think Mick is seen as the main man marker in what's otherwise a fairly relatively inexperienced and youthful back line. So I'd imagine Mick will be handed that task again on Sunday. And well, then in the forward line, I mean, Daniel Flynn is the obvious one. He was very, very tightly marked against Kerry last week, and I suppose that's something that he's going to have to get used to, because he's obviously the standout man in the Kildare attack. But the key then for Kildare is, can the likes of the corner forwards, Jimmy Hyland and Paddy Woodgate, who were both players on the Kildare under 20 team that won the All-Ireland back in 2018, can they capitalise on the space maybe that is created if Daniel Flynn is being double marked?
Yeah, interesting you made the point, Ger, about the All-Ireland team in 2018. And with the pandemic, I suppose it hasn't given the opportunity to players to flourish as much as they would hope to. Is this now the time for Kildare to step up and show that they've progressed from an All-Ireland underage winning team and convert that into the senior ranks? Is this the year maybe that they can show they can compete in Division 1 and even go as far as, right, Leinster Championship here, let us show the rest of the sides that we mean business?
Yeah, you'd like to think so, but it is kind of a strange situation to be in, because very rarely would you see a manager gain promotion to Division 1 heading into his third year in charge and then leave the side for whatever reason. Obviously, Jack departed to go to take over Kerry when that job arose. So like that would have been heading into the third year. So Glenn Ryan is coming in a strange position of trying to, you know, blend in his squad and hit the ground running in the tough life that is in Division 1 football. Generally, you know, you might get a season or two in Division 2, maybe, and build towards a big year down in the third year. Glenn doesn't have that opportunity. He's had a lot of trial games and has watched a lot of players through kind of October, November, December, and that has yielded a couple of players. But as you said, I mean, the focus in Kildare still is on that 2018 team. Jimmy Hyland has been the standout performer from that side, and he's pretty much nailed down the number 15 jersey over the last couple of years, and particularly since the COVID break, he's come back and he really has been a very, very consistent performer in the Kildare attack. Mark Dempsey was a player who played last year, cornerback, played pretty much ever present last year, but he's not available this year. So we've seen Tony Archibald and Paddy Woodgate would have played there or made their first starts there in that game against Kerry. They're two players who really shone on that team. And then there's a couple of guys as well on the bench, where the likes of Brian McLaughlin, Shane O'Sullivan wasn't involved due to colleges, but maybe on the subs bench on Sunday as well. But already there's kind of the next generation are coming through, even younger players again. Paddy McDermott came on as a sub on Sunday. He's one of the Nace players as well, who a lot of people maybe would have seen on television playing for Nace in the Leinster Championship, and he was superb. And his teammate Alex Byrne and Derek Kerwin are both struggling with injuries, but they're kind of on the younger age grade again from that 2018 team. So yeah, as much as a focus on that 2018 side already, kind of the next generation of lads are coming through underneath them as well.
Yeah. Peter, where would you like to see improvements from a Donegal point of view this weekend against Kildare? Obviously, listen, Keelan Ward's now on that injured list, added along with Hugh McFadden and Jimmy Brennan and Oisin Gallant. The list is getting bigger, but yeah, Donegal are going to knock on from that point that they earned last weekend, because in the end it was hard fought. Where would you like to see improvements now as we head to our first home game?
Well, they were pretty good in the first half last week, and if they could replicate that, maybe they ran out of steam a little bit. They put a lot of effort into that first half, and they lost Kieran Thompson as well, and it's unlikely that he'll be back as well. So, you know, the resources are going to be stretched, because the long-term injured, it doesn't look like any of them will be back in the immediate future. Maybe Hugh McFadden, maybe towards the middle of the league. And, you know, we could have done with a Hugh McFadden or a Stephen McMenamin or Neil McGee, especially for the last 20 minutes. You know, the bench are going to have to make maybe a bigger impact than they made last Sunday. We would like to get more out of them when we start using it next Sunday, because nowadays, the full bench is used every game. I know during the McKenna Cup, you know, there was roll on, roll off subs, but now we're back to the normal 20 being used, and they all have to make a contribution, because with the pace of the game and the way that Donegal play the game, you know, the short hand passing, the holding possession, it does sap the energy. And they're going to have to keep something for the last 15 minutes. Again, you know, they can't rely all the time on Michael Murphy to bail them out. Suppose someone else that they're going to have to look at in this week is penalty taken. They've missed their last two penalties, and both of them have been very vital against Tyrone when Michael Murphy missed in the championship. And on Sunday last, Patrick McBertie's effort was saved. So, you know, if they get a penalty on Sunday, hopefully we will need to be converting it. Because this, obviously, as Ger said, a new-look Kildare team. Donegal won't know an awful lot about those young fellas, but they do. They would know about Daniel Flynn. We saw him in Ballyshannon a few years ago, and a very, very good player. Kevin Feely in the middle of the field, very impressive as well. But, you know, Jimmy Highland and Paddy Woodgate are probably the two new stars that are coming through in Kildare. And when you look at the management team that Glenn Ryan has put together, like, it's very impressive. And it's all, you know, kind of local talent. You know, Rainbow, Dermot Early, and, you know, one of the best players they've ever had, Johnny Doyle, involved. And I'm told that Paul Galvin, the Kerry man, is involved as a skills coach as well. So they put some team together there. And if they can build on what they did on last Sunday against Kerry, I know Ger said that there was the Jack O'Connor. That was there as well. Obviously, the supporters could really got behind the team, as they always do in Newbridge. And it'll be interesting to see how they do when they come out of Newbridge, which is regarded as a fairly tight pitch, coming into Balbuffet. It's quite a while probably since they played actually in Balbuffet, because I think the last two times they played in Donegal, they played in the Father Tierney Park in Ballyshannon. And before that, there was a draw in Letterkenny with a last-minute goal. I think that they got a draw back in 2011. But when you look at the overall stats between the league games, I think the last seven league games between them, Kildare won three. Donegal have won three, and that drawing game in Letterkenny, and then maybe the most famous game of all, the championship match in 2011 with Kevin Cassidy's last minute point. So there isn't very much between these counties, you know, over the years. I know the last victory in Ballyshannon was a pretty big one, but you know, Kildare, they usually put it up to Donegal. They did put the year before in Ballyshannon. They were very unlucky, I think, not to get something out of the game. Lost a couple of players and wouldn't have been very happy with the referee, I think, as well.
Yeah. Would you expect Donegal to win on Sunday, Peter?
Well, if you'd talked to me before last Sunday, before I came home from Sligo, I would have been putting it down as a banker. And matter of fact, the last man standing, we have one going in the club in Ballyshannon here, and I have Donegal down on Sunday. I got through last weekend when I think more than half of them were knocked out by the results of Kerry and Dublin. I had went for Derry to beat Down, so I'm still standing, but I would be confident, well, not overly confident, but I think that Donegal really have to win on Sunday, even for retaining their Division 1 status, and we know how important that's going to be over the next couple of years, Division 1, especially to stay in Division 1, because once if you go slip back into Division 2, it could be a dogfight to actually stay in the All-Ireland Championship.
Okay, Peter, we're going to leave it with Ger. Leave him as the last man standing in this piece we're doing in our preview. Final question to you then, Ger. Do you feel, given what Peter had said and the amount of injuries that Donegal have and the way they're going to come off the back of the Mayo result from last week, is this probably a good time for Kildare? They'll be thinking to meet Donegal.
I don't know if I got that far, but certainly the results in Division 1 on the first weekend with three draws on the Sunday, you know, who really does leave it a very wide open league campaign. So everybody will be very anxious to kind of get their first win on board. Barry Armagh, of course, who got that victory. But I believe it's 1994 was the last time that Kildare played in Ballybuffet. And I also think that was the last time and only time that Kildare actually won in the county of Donegal. So Dermot Early was the manager then. So we have the Dermot Early Jr. involved in the management setup now. So hopefully that they can, that could be maybe a bit of a lucky charm. But Yeah, look, it's still going to be a huge task. Kildare are underdogs in pretty much every game they play this year in Division 1. There's no getting away from that. And to get anything from any game, they're going to have to perform nearly to their top level. They were absolutely to the pin of their collar to get a draw there on Sunday. And as much as was a fantastic result, as I said, the big question is now, can they do that week in, week out? You know, the bodies would have been sore, I'm sure. And just it was interesting to hear Peter just mention the subs, because it was something that stood out to me on Sunday, that Kildare only made 3 substitutions, which is kind of a real outlier in the modern game. You know, emptying the bench is pretty much guaranteed in almost every game. So, you know, maybe that just told the tale. But in fairness as well, Kildare were going very well in the latter stages of it. So maybe Glenn just felt there was no reason to change anything when Kildare were pushing so hard. So, yeah, it'll be a tough, tough game. As I said, Kildare will have to be absolutely at their best to have any chance of getting anything from it.
Peter Campbell and Ger McNally looking ahead to Donegal against Kildare. Once again, full live match commentary here on Highland as from the 2:30 start. Also this weekend, amongst the other games, a very interesting Ulster derby in Division 1. Armagh are taking on Tyrone. That one starts slightly earlier at 2 o'clock. And the other Division 1 game on Sunday is Mayo against Monaghan. That one's on Clonus. Not forgetting the Dubs against Kerry and the tie of one of the ties of the weekend, which took place on Saturday. We can't forget about Derry in round 2 after that convincing one against Down last week. They're on the road for the first time in Division 2. They're going to make the trip to Tullamore. Offaly as the opposition this weekend for Rory Gallagher's side. And Donegal are also in action at Ulster Ladies Minor level in the Championship. They're taking on Cavan. That game's been played on Saturday and it throws in at the Breffni 3G pitch in Cavan at 2 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. The Donegal Hurlers begin their 2020 National Hurling League Division 2B campaign this Sunday when they host London at the O'Donnell Park in Letterkenny. There's a 12 noon start there, with away games to come against Sligo, Wicklow and Mayo. Winning their 2 home games against London and Derry is vital if they are to stay in the division. Donegal have Danny Cullen and Declan Coulter back in the side after the pair missed the pre-season McGurk Cup. The game will be London's first inter-county tie in nearly 2 years because of the pandemic. I've been speaking with Donegal hurling manager Mickey McCann, who feels if London retain the quality that they had a couple of seasons ago, they will be tough to beat this weekend.
Well, we're probably waiting hard washing on the programme, maybe by Friday evening, to get a wee look through it to see, you know, has there been much change since March 2020, you know, and I suppose with London, you know yourself, they can get a very strong team out over there if it's a pick of everybody that's available to them. So, look, we've just been keeping an eye on the club scene and going to match that up to what they're bringing on at the weekend, and that's basically all we can work off, Ashton, and those players that have been there maybe 4 or 5 years. Boy Sheehan and all, they're very handy if he's still about and stuff. So look, as I say, we don't know a while lot, Ashton, and it'd be more for keeping our own house in order and getting ourselves, try and make most of home advantage, you know, with them travelling over. We just need to make the most of home advantage in the first half an hour, you know.
Yeah, and the opposition at the way, they actually played in a division higher than you, Mickey, in recent years as well. Like they were up in Division 2A, so they were at one stage.
They were, actually, and they've been there a good while, you know, and look, they've won the Christy Ring, I think, too, at a stage. Look, I don't think Donegal has ever beat London. They beat London B maybe back in 2003 or something, or one, but any time we met their first team, you know, they've always beaten us. So it's a team we've never got over yet. As I say, when we went up to Division 2B, they were always in 2A. So look, it shows you the calibre they have, Ashton, and they'll have a pick of a lot of high-quality club players from down south, you know. So it's going to be a big ask, Ashton, but as I say, we're looking forward to the task. Feel like Division there this year, is, you know, you have a chance of beating everybody in it, and at the same time, if you drop off 10 or 15%, you could be in a relegation battle. So we know what we're up against, Ashton, and you know, we just want trying to maintain that status. Division 2B is what it's all about for us, and a home game on Sunday is going to be massive.
Just a note again in London, Mickey, before we look at your own panel, I suppose there was a bit of a red flag raised last week because Carlo were in a similar situation to what you are this week, thinking you're going to meet a team that hasn't played at inter-county level in 2 years, and you would think that you might have the edge in them going into it. But as we've seen with the Footballers last week, who came from 10 points down to beat Carlo, you sort of have to keep that in the back of your mind, that this is a game that's not to be taken too lightly.
Exactly, Ashton, and as I say, if they have a pick, and it shows that football team's been training hard over there. When they finished the game so strong against Carlow in the second half, so fitness and stuff wasn't a question. So they've always been putting the work in. People might be thinking London now would be a good time to get them, but I feel like if you're over there, you're under your hurling or Gaelic, you know, you're mad to get out training and stuff after your day's work. So look, I feel there's a strong London team coming, Oisin, and we just don't know what yet exactly or who's new. And I feel look, we're going to be up against it in terms of them playing at a higher standard than us, and most of their players will play a lot higher club standard. So, but at the same time, we're looking forward to getting our own house in order and making ourselves hard to beat at home, Oisin, and seeing where we're at come 60 minutes, we're still in the game. I fancy we could get something out of it, you know. So it's just maybe staying in it for as long as possible and trying to nip them at the end, you know.
Yeah. Well, what about your own house this week? I suppose Jack O'Loughlin's the biggest concern. He, of course, came off in that McGurk Cup final against Down. Mikey, is this weekend going to come too early for him?
I think so, actually. I liked jogging last night and stuff, but after chatting to Colm or Fuzio, he feels like he needs another week or two to be sure, you know, and it's early in the season, so likely not to risk him. Actually, there's going to be bigger games down the line, and you could end up losing for the league and trying him, you know. So, look, a couple of boys out, and a few boys coming back in. Declan Coulter, who didn't play none of the Gurk Cups, came through training this last couple of weeks and be available for selection. You've Danny come back from honeymoon on Saturday, so and trained all week. So look, we've a couple of boys out, Oisin, and a few boys back in, but overall, you know, I feel we should be fit to field a strong team, you know.
Yeah, just in that pre-season competition, at the end of that night in the final, you really put it up to Down, so you did in the decider. Again, you were disappointed that you didn't win the game. But from the pre-season activity that you had in that competition, I suppose there was a lot of pluses in it, and one of them was Davin Flynn hitting form, returning and hitting form again for you.
Yeah, he's probably been missed, actually, in a few of the bigger games last year too, maybe Derry away and stuff when you're beat by a point. He chaps up very clinical and he comes in with big scores. Actually, you mightn't see him for 10 minutes, but when them chances arises, he sticks it away, you know. And look, it helped against Down that night. He's probably the best forward on show out of both teams, finishing with 2-3 or 2-4, you know. So definitely a big plus for us this year, having Davin back, you know. And you'd like to see some young boys coming back in now, with Rory Campbell stuff to join him, and Richie Ryan here, who's had a bit of form, you know. I feel we're a good, strong panel, actually. A couple of injuries before might have held us back a bit, but I feel now we have replacements there now that can keep us everybody strong, you know, when you're down one or two players.
Yeah. So you're confident then, Mickey, in the squad that you have? And I know in previous years that you brought the younger players in and they needed time to bed in. Has that time now elapsed for them, and the performances they put in, particularly again in the McGurk Cup competition, they've been elevated to senior? You're quite happy now to throw these boys into the mix?
Definitely, I'm actually, you know, that's what it's all about. Even like the Conor O'Grady, you know, been playing well for his club there, and he's been in and out of the team, but I feel like he's moved on. He's well able to take a starting spot, you know, and probably will on Saturday, and that's up to himself then, you know. They play at a good level and hold on to that spot, which I feel he can. And you've like Rory Campbell and Conor Gerdlin, who just came out of minors last year. Look, and both a good McGurk Cup and showed that they competed at that level. Keep the pressure on, actually. The boys is on the pitch, maybe that they weren't on there before. So I feel like we're in a good spot. And if we can bring what we did in the McGurk Cup in terms of work rate and effort, we'll not be far away in this league, and hopefully can maintain our status in it, you know.
Yeah, that's what you're looking to do, Mick. You're looking to maintain your position in Division 2B, which you accomplished, of course, last year ahead of the championship. Is there more pressure on you this year to stay in that division, Mickey? Because you've only got two home games. Three of them are away. Sligo, Wicklow and Mayo are all on the road. It was the opposite in the previous season in Division 2B. So do you feel now that maybe there might be a wee bit more pressure on the guys this time to stay there in Division 2B, given you only have two home games?
Yeah, I suppose we've been spoiled, I see, in the last few years. Even in the Championship, we've always been getting victories, which always give us home advantage. And in the league, with three home again last year. So like I said, going away to Wicklow and Mayo and Sligo's big, tough games this year. You've got to get something out of your home games, Oisin, but when you weigh it all down, two home victories might not be even be enough, Oisin. You know, we had 4 points before in this division, and got into the last day, we still had to beat Armagh to make sure we're safe because of the head-to-head and the score difference. So, to make sure you're safe, Oisin, I think you're going to need definitely three victories and 6 points, you know, in this table with a head-to-head and stuff, you know. So, look, that's going to definitely be a tough ask, you know. But I feel like we have the players in the panel there this year, and there is a relegation battle with the bottom two playoff too, Oisín. So there's a wee safe net there to get a chance at it again. So, but hopefully we're not in that position, Oisín. But I feel like you're going to have to get 6 points on the table to make sure you're going to be safe for next season, you know.
Donegal boss Mickey McCann. That game, of course, in the National League in Division 2B, throws in once again at 12 o'clock on a Sunday at the O'Donnell Park in Letterkenny. Tyrone are also out on Sunday. They're taking on Roscommon at Dr. Hyde Park. 2 o'clock is the start time for that Division 3A encounter. And just back to 2B, one of the other sides involved, two of the other sides actually involved in Donegal's division are Derry and Sligo. And they're going to play off on Saturday afternoon. And that one has a 2 o'clock start there. In athletics, Letterkenny AC and Fun Valley will compete at the European Champion Clubs Cup Cross Country in Portugal this weekend. Letterkenny gained a place by winning a first ever National Senior Women's Team title in November, while Fun Valley on that day also claimed the under 20 gold to book their slot. The event, which will be held outside of Lisbon on Sunday, sees it make a return to the European calendar after a 3 year absence. Anne-Marie McGlynn will not be running for Letterkenny this weekend. She, of course, finished sixth in the Nationals but won't compete due to a slight injury that she picked up in recent weeks. McGlynn has a big year ahead with Commonwealth Games and European Marathons coming up in 2022. The Letterkenny team then will be Nikita Burke, Christine Russell, Nolene Scanlon and Natasha Adams. And the competing Fin Valley team are Emer McCarroll, Sarah Bradley, Nuala Bose and Emer O'Brien. The standout games this weekend locally in soccer. There's 3 quarter-finals to take place in the Knockalla Caravans Cup. Starts Friday night at the Letterkenny Community Centre. Finn Harps Reserves will play Alia FC. And then 2 more quarter-finals on Sunday. Kildrum Tigers take on Letterkenny Rovers and Derry City Reserves will play Cockhill Celtic. There was a number of cup draws made earlier this week. The Ulster Junior semi-final last 4. Well, the draw was made and it will see an all-Inishowen battle of Buncrana Hearts and Glengad United. The 3rd Premier Division team from Inishowen in the semi-final draw is Alia, and there's Donegal League opposition for them at the semi-final stage as they play Kildrum Tigers. The Ulster Junior Shield semi-final draw was also made. Carramina will meet Ellis Celtic's reserves and Glencar Celtic will play Buncrana Hearts reserves. Finally, we go to rally, and this weekend's Galway International Rally kickstarts the return of the Irish Tarmac Championship. All the big names of the Irish scene will be out. The top 20 entry is filled with the best rally cars in Ireland. Alistair Fisher and Callum Devine head the field with the likes of Donagh Kelly, Declan Boyle and Gary Jennings seated in the top 10. 3 Donegal drivers, Kevin Eaves, Damien Turish and Declan Geller in the top 4 two-wheel drive modified seats. The Galway Rally reverts back to a 2-day event with stages Saturday and Sunday. I've been looking ahead to the much anticipated return of the Galway International Rally and to see what's in store for the men competing. I've been speaking with the man behind on the pace note, Killian Duffy.
Yeah, I actually can't remember the last 2-day event pre-COVID. Obviously, Cork 20 ran last year in the Harvest and they were like single day events. I can't remember when the last 2-day event, it possibly was Cork 20, 2019, since there was a 2-day event. So it's great to see it back. Great to see tough, challenging Galway stages lying ahead. 3 stages ran 3 times on Saturday. Real greasy stages, real dry stone wall Saturday stages. Then the Sunday stages is the famous Brady's Yard and Black Road. Brady's Yard is a bit slippy in places, but generally it's a very big commitment stage. And then the Black Road is a real, real committed stage across the mountain. So it's going to sort everyone out. Plenty of stages for racing. And it's nice, even for ourselves doing the Facebook Live or even crews, just that they have a day of rally and then they're staying there and then they do another day. So like it's almost a novelty at this stage. I mean, we're nearly reprogrammed because of COVID into 2 stages, 3 times, 6 stages in total. So it'll be nice to get a decent bit of kilometres under their belt and as I said, day 2, and it'll make it interesting for sure.
Yeah. What's the general feeling on the ground, Killian? Because you, of course, know all these drivers and co-drivers very, very well. And what's the talk pre-Galway?
Well, the talk is, I suppose, anyone I've spoke to that's done the recce has really spoke about stage 2 in Galway. It's extremely tricky. It would have been used in the opposite direction in the Galway summer and also Galway International over the years. Every corner looks the exact same. A lot of late corners, a lot of corners that tighten just at the end or half tighten at the end. Nips is what I would call it. That's going to be a bit tricky. But again, everyone was saying it is what it is. It's Galway. You can't expect anything else. It's slimy. It's slippy, particularly on the Saturday. And then it's more, we'll say, more better grip on the Sunday. But everyone's talking about the Saturday stage, and particularly stage number two. So I would say that that could be the stage that will throw up a few surprises.
Yep. And as expected, all the big guns are on the entry list. All the well-known names are in Irish rallying are there to get back into the seats again.
Yeah, it's great to see people. I mean, Declan Boyle is obviously going in his WRC car. I think that's in preparation for the big event there up with yourselves in June. So he's getting ready early. Then the R5 battle, I mean, unfortunately, Matt Edwards didn't get the budget together. He's the current British rally champion. Would have been great to see him coming over because his speed is stunning. But nonetheless, we have a return on Alistair Fisher, who was the last winner of the Galway International back in 2020. He's in a polo. Everyone that seems to be in a polo seems to go well. Calum Devine then, of course, he had a great year last year, or a short year, we'll call it, but he won Cork and the Harvest along with another event. But it's going to be a good race. I mean, Alistair Fisher never did a huge amount of rallying in a season anywhere, and he seems to be able to just sit into the car and go. So I think if I was picking a favourite, it'll probably be between the two lads. I might just give a bit more of a nod to Alistair there. I just think that it's going to be a good race. I just feel like Callum had although he went well last year, I think he was playing around suspensions in the Ulster and he sort of dropped his head a little bit. So I think it's going to take him a few stages to get his confidence back. But again, Alistair, I've never seen him starting slow or not being on the pace straight away. But it's certainly not going to be huge margins between them. So it'll make for great racing. And of course, I'm only talking about them too. You know, you have Murray and Evans there. He was fastest back in 2020 on the first stage in Galway, I'm nearly sure. You know, and he can't be discounted. He's more, I won't say slow and steady, far from slow, a more steady approach, but he's very, very consistent. Then you look back, Josh Moffat, Johnny Greer, reigning Northern Ireland champion, Cahn McCourt, Donna Kelly, of course. Like, Donna, okay. Again, he hasn't been out in a couple of years because of COVID as well. As such, I know he's in Killarney Historics in his M3 and that. But again, it's a different kettle of fish in the polo. Declan Boyle, of course, Gary Jennings, then Daniel Cronin's in a polo. So it's mouthwatering. And then you have Tim McNulty, who's a former national tarmac champion, is in a right-hand drive R5 Fiesta. And he hasn't been out in 7 or 8 years. And it's great to see him back. And I understand he has a lot of testing done for the event. So of all the people on the entry list, from what I'm hearing, and this is only rumour, wasn't what Tim had told me, that he could have more kilometres done than anyone else up the field in front of him. So, I mean, you can't discount him, but it's going to be truly interesting. I mean, I think Galway always has this mystique about it. You know, it's like a new season for any sport, or like Formula One or rally in a world championship. You can't beat the first round because you're wondering how people will go, particularly in new cars. And of course, then is very important. Behind the R5s is the modified field, and that's mouthwatering. I mean, you have Kevin Eaves. Kevin seems to generally, Kevin and Gary Kiernan seem to be almost slow starters. And then you have Damien Turish. Damien always revels in them slippy conditions. He'll go really, really well. Declan Gallagher was coming on form in Killarney Historics as well. Wouldn't discount him. He goes really well in Galway. James Stafford then is making the trip from Wexford. Of all events, I would say this would be his least favourite because the grip with the Darien, you know, the front end of them cars is so light with the engine in the back. So, I mean, again, I wouldn't discount him, but he's going to, I would say, struggle a bit for grip in Galway. Chris Armstrong, Damien Toner, and then, of course, Jason Black in the Starlet. So, I mean, where do you end? I could go back through the whole entry list and there's going to be racing in all the classes. It's just going to be brilliant. There hasn't been many dropouts. I was talking to Aidan Connolly, the COC there, just before I came on with yourself, and there hasn't been really any other notable dropouts other than Matt Edwards, and everyone else's, you know, I see videos of people testing and getting warmed up and the junior side of things. I mean, there's so many categories and classes to look forward to. It's like we rewound and went back to 2005-2006, where Irish rallying was at its peak in modern times, and it seems like that way again. And again, I think the push is on to get these right-hand drive right-hand drive cars or R5 cars allowed to win international rallies again. That's going to, I'm hearing there's a good few new cars bought with guys that are going to put them in right-hand drive and do the rest of the tarmac. So hopefully that'll have change for West Cork.
Yeah. As you were rattling through those names and cars, Killian, I was thinking the exact same thing. It's a very impressive list, and it's been a long time since we had such quality in an international field. And you go back to that period where, like, the top 20 in Donegal was all WRC cars. But you're looking here now at the seated entry list for Galway.
the top 25 cars are all the top type car that you can run in the country at the moment. And it hasn't taken that long for these R5 cars, for the Polos and the Fiestas, all to filter through and I suppose making a big statement in Irish rallying again, Killian.
It is. It just goes to show. I mean, probably the argument for it is that some of these R5 cars, the earlier versions, are probably around the same price as a modified Escort at this stage. So I suppose it's a newer version car. You sort of have a good idea of the running cost of it. So they're getting more affordable to those that can afford them. And it's just equal racing. I mean, no one has a big advantage over the other person. So the fastest person's going to win. Obviously, they come from a factory, so you're sort of tied with the modifications you can do. Mostly it's your setup and stuff you'll be changing. But it's going to be super racing. I mean, at the end of the first stage, I would say even taking stage times for us broadcasting, it'll be busy because I don't imagine there's going to be massive margins. There might be slight gaps as you go back to the field, but it's not going to be massive. Like, and again, same as the modified. So you won't get it better anywhere, to be honest. Like, that amount of, like, you've over 20 R5s, as you said, they're fantastic to watch. They're going to be pushed to the limit. And then you start with them and you've enjoyed them. And then all of a sudden, the top modified guys that, let's be honest, Mick O'Hervenin came here, Craig Breen came, you know, in a modified car, and no one was able to beat these guys. Like, they're just on a different level of lunatics, I suppose. You know, these guys in the modified cars, like, I'm sure they're going to be racing up with some of the R5 cars as well, if not a good few of them. But it's always truly entertaining, you know, because they're obviously not just stuck to the road like the R5s. There's a bit more action, and particularly in the slippy conditions. So much to look forward to. And I would say, like, any of the rallies I was at last year, Cork, Donegal Harvest, like, I haven't seen crowds at rallies. I can't remember when that I seen at the Donegal Harvest. And it was a miserable day. It was lashing rain. And all you could see was 6-7 people deep at the stages. And it's just, hopefully this is a bit of a sweet spot for rallying, that we can, you know, that it's, you know, promoted and pushed and people are enjoying it. And I think that some people come back to rallying during COVID that probably realised, you know what, I actually miss the social side of it. I miss the competitive side of it. People going out watching and stuff, they just miss that, going out and hearing the sound of the car coming in the distance, you know, and just seeing what appears and what the difference in times are. So lots to look forward to.
Yeah. Must standing in a field getting soaking wet, Killian.
I know, and that'll be this weekend, I think. I think the weather is due to be bad this weekend, so yeah. I think that'll definitely be the case. Like,
I'm just thinking as well, this is Galway's entry. Imagine what Donegal's going to be like come the third weekend in June.
Yeah, that's it. Like, I think we're talking offline before we come on. Will anyone appear in one of these new generation cars in Donegal? You know, it'll be interesting to see, like, how many world cars. Is Declan Boyle has sort of put his colours to the mast now. He's coming in the world car, so he is obviously probably going to do the national championship, I would imagine, and he'll be getting revved up for Donegal. And let's not forget, when Craig Breen was here, like, Declan was leading after day one, and there's a man that was on the podium in Monty. Now, I'm not saying Declan Boyle, if he went to Monty last week, he'd be on the podium. Obviously, Craig goes well, really well everywhere, but the local talent on the local roads here, being local and as all the Irish roads, these guys are as good as it gets, like, and there's no big difference between them and anyone else that'll be driving down the road. So the spectacle they're putting on for spectators and the sheer volume of cars and variety is just... is super, and I think it'll be a great, great event. And as you say, it'll be hype up till June for Donegal. Everything about Donegal. So yeah, it's going to be great. And I think Donegal is back to 3 days, and I think Ian McGee as well on the case with the organising there. So it's got, hopefully, fingers crossed, it's a great year.
That's Killian Duffy off on the pace note. And you can, of course, watch all the stage ends with Killian Saturday and Sunday via his live Facebook streams. And that's it from The Score for tonight. Hope you enjoyed the programme. If you missed any of it, you can, of course, recap in the sports section of highlandradio.com. Chris Ashmore is your next bulletin tomorrow morning after the 8:30 news. From me, Oisin Kelly, have a very good evening.
Highland Sports is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Find everything you need to kick off your fitness journey at michaelmurphysports.ie.